The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your dream is JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
It is a nice looking beard, though. You're right.
Unlike your hat.
I've got that same hat.
Yeah, and it says Canada. It's red. I'm getting abuse from you people. Like, why would I get abuse for wearing Canada?
Because it looks like you bought it from a tourist shop.
Yeah, it's true. I think I bought that hat for you.
Which way to the Xi'an Tower?
It's a nice mug, isn't it?
Yeah. He's like that English guy that comes over to Canada, and he likes a baseball cap, so he just grabs one, even though it doesn't fucking look good, but he just puts it on his head. Canada, let's do this.
It's like one of those hats that stick on Stephen Hawkins when he was outside. That's what it looks like, one of those hats. Doesn't quite fit properly.
You do look like Stephen Hawkins with a hat on. That.
God. He's got way better mobility than
Stephen
me.
Stephen Hawkins.
And you can tell he didn't put it on himself.
Raise, reposition the hat.
God.
Hey, the man's dead. Okay. He's probably the greatest mind of our time.
He also flew on Epstein's plane a bunch of times, apparently.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Stephen Hawkins.
Yeah.
Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
It was Stephen Hawkins and Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
Both of them.
He didn't sit by the exit, though.
He sat on the wing.
They wouldn't let him. You're right.
Couldn't open the door.
No, couldn't open the door.
Yeah, we got it.
That's Hawkins.
Where are we going today? No.
Welcome to 2026.
Yeah, hey, people. Happy New Year. I was just happy to be wearing a hat that says Canada. I need to get myself a Canada soccer hat. That's what I got to get. That's on the list this new year. Or we should get it sponsored. They can provide them for us or something. This
worse.
Is a shitty hat.
It can only go up from here.
Listen, it's been a busy start to the new year. Obviously, the transfer window. We've got firings. We've got signings with a Canadian kilt to it. Mm. What are we going to start with? We'll start with Ali Ahmed. Jimmy Brennan, another Canadian boy, donning the canary yellow.
Yes. It's great to see. Really is. It's a good signing for them. They need him. I think he'll do very, very well. I think people are excited as well. I was listening to Asa actually sent me the, I think it was like a Norwich City podcast, and I had a little listen about it. And a lot of the Vancouver fans are upset that he left, which shows that, you know, he was a bit of a cult hero in Vancouver. So Norwich was excited about that. Obviously, Whitecap fans complaining that he's left, but they're excited because they know they got a good talented player that's coming in. Yeah, they're the bottom of the table, but they're a club which does spend money. And I think next season they'll be pushing for promotion. So I think it's a great club for him. Stax and I were actually talking about this the other day. You know, there's a lot of Canadians that have played for Ipswich or Norwich. They seem to do well when they go play for these clubs and they end up thriving. So I think it's a good signing for Norwich. I'm looking forward to seeing how he handles the rigors of the championship.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit more physical for him for sure. There'll be some time to settle in, I would think. But I was thinking of East Anglia, Norwich, and Ipswich. I've had 8 different Canadian players play for those 2 different clubs.
8. Okay, can we go through them? Can we try and guess? You know them, Craig. So yeah. Simeon Jackson.
Yes.
Jimmy Brennan.
Yes.
There was a guy in the 50s too, I believe, at Norwich, and I forget his name.
Yes. Is it Crossland or something like that?
David Crossland.
He was also on Arrested Development.
The Blue Man Group.
Yeah.
So Ipswich, you got Craig Forrest, you got Frankie Allen. You got Jimmy Peters?
DeVos. Yeah.
Jason DeVos?
Yeah.
How many is that now? Are we one short?
That's 7.
Yeah, you wouldn't get it. Bruce Twomley.
Oh, Bruce Twombly. No, yeah, we wouldn't. I may have got that. You've mentioned him before a number of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got injured, I think, on his second or third game really, really badly.
Did he break his leg?
Yeah. Then he went to New York Cosmos, broke his leg with the New York Cosmos, too. Snapped it in two.
Yeah. Same leg?
I don't know.
We need to know these things. You know, we've got to provide the insight. Deep behind the curtain of the story.
Yeah. I could have just said yes, it's 50-50. Yeah.
I mean, I guess you'd rather break the same leg twice, wouldn't you? Than have both legs, you know, arthritis sets into both legs as opposed to one. I mean, I don't know.
My memory serves me right. The injury and the photograph when he broke his leg against the Cosmos was like Sports Illustrated photo of the year or something.
Oh, no.
So his leg is basically snapped.
Oh, no.
And he's still in movement. Like, he hasn't Christ. Even figured it out yet.
Or like the foot's pointing the wrong direction. One of those ones.
Oh, yeah.
No, like this one, his leg, it's running back. He's coming in sideways and his leg is like literally snapped.
Oh, that's awful.
Can't watch those things. Yeah. Awful. Ali Ahmed, back to him. So Norwich, Jimmy, tell us about the club, Norwich. I know it's been a few years since you were there, right? But it's a big club.
Yeah.
It's got a fervent fan base and they've got real Premier League pedigree. I think they were there. Was it 2022, I think, the last time?
Yeah.
But look, ambitious.
It's a great, great club. Fan base is absolutely terrific. It's well supported. Delia Smith was the owner when I was there. Lovely lady. I was actually at the game where she said, "Let's be having you," when her teeth were all red from the wine.
It's amazing.
Let's be having you.
Brilliant.
Let's be having you.
It's a good snort.
Yeah.
Have you seen this one? You've got to see this. You've seen it before, haven't you?
No.
I'm sure it's on YouTube.
I got to look it up.
Yeah. Delia Smith. Yeah. Decent.
Oh, amazing. TV chef. So Jimmy, was that when they just survived on the final day of the season, or was it promotion?
I think it was a promotion that year. She was yelling at the fans to get behind the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, that was something else. That was actually quite funny, but she was an amazing woman. Really, really amazing. Loves the club, so much passion, but I think with Ali, I think he'll enjoy living in Norwich. It's a great city. And like I said, the club's, you know, first class, the facilities, everything about it is really, really good. And it's a club that's, you know, a bit of a yo-yo club, right? They're up, they're down, they're up, they're down. And they do spend money and they back the club. And I think next season they'll be pushing again for promotion. They'll get the right pieces in. They've got very good scouting department as well.
Well, they better not get relegated first.
Yeah.
What would be in Ali's contract if they got relegated? Is he signed for more than 1 year, 2 years? Sorry.
No, I think it's
2029.
Yeah.
Right. So is there anything in those contracts that say, hey, if we're knocked down a peg, we can change? Because revenue changes, right? Like broadcast fees. Can they afford an Ali, or is that when people get traded on or lent out and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that's when they get in financial problems.
Mm.
But no, there would be nothing there. Ali his agent would never sign something like that. You don't even get that in the Premier League. You get relegated, you're still on the same money. Then they're going to offload you.
Right.
Like, he might have an escape clause as well, right? If they do get relegated, then.
You could
move on.
Okay, but as a young MLS player who hasn't proven himself in Europe, the contract he signs, I mean, it's going to be a decent contract, probably better terms than he's got in Vancouver, obviously. But he's still not picking and choosing what is in that contract, right? He just wants to get to Europe at this point, surely.
Well, yes and no. He wants to get to Europe, but he's also going to have a good contract at the same time. I mean, the World Cup's really, it's brilliant and the players all want to play in it. But the bottom line is the club are your bread and butter. And he's got to look after his finances and opportunities when that comes up. And really, the World Cup is secondary in a lot of ways.
What about the people who are saying, and Jimmy or Forrest, either one of you wants to jump in here with your experience playing over in England and playing in the championship, particularly you, Jimmy, saying that there was a risky move by Ali. It's the allure of Europe for him to take that next step in his career. He's 25 years old. I think he feels like he has a lot to prove, but I think he's done it with Canada. So is it a risk for him to go over to the championship? They're in a relegation battle now. They likely won't be. I see them coming out of the bottom of the table and climbing their way up. But will he get meaningful minutes to ensure that he remains a big part of Jesse Marsh's Canada?
Well, I would think so. I mean, that's one thing when you go to a club that's struggling. They're obviously not wanting to probably spend the money on anybody at this stage. I think their wage bill is in the region of £20 million per year, as reported. So, you know, they're at a pretty steep level. So they're bringing in Ali basically to save them or help save them stay up. But there is a risk there, but they're going to give them playing time because they're in a tough situation. So it's not like they're winning every game. It's like, oh, you got to be patient, Ali, and work your way in. It's like, no, you're in on Saturday.
Right. And they really need wingers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They need to need somebody creating stuff and turning defenders. Yeah.
He's a good sign. Philippe Clement came in just before Christmas, right? And he likes wide players, creative players. He said himself, we have to address the creativity in this window. So, yeah, you're probably right there. They expect Ali to jump straight in there and have an effect. I mean, you're like right at the bottom of the league championship. I think their first league game is against Wrexham, actually. Mm. Got the FA Cup this weekend, but then it's Wrexham, which is going to be fun for Ali, I'm sure. You know, all the hoopla around that club. But tell me, I mean, what is, from a cultural standpoint, Jimmy, Craig, you both went over there at a young age, younger than Ali. But for a Canadian kid heading over to that part of England, what's the biggest cultural shift he's gonna discover?
Battered sausage and chips.
Yeah,
Ali's looking well fed these days.
Just make sure you put the vinegar and salt on it.
I actually watched our interview with Ali. It was over a year ago. We thought it was this past year when we got over our guests of the year. It was a really fun interview, actually. But I don't know. This guy's been through it in the past. Can you just continue with me? I've got a phone call I've got to take right now. Sorry, go right ahead, okay?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's Ali Ahmed.
You know what? It's cool. You've got to take it, right?
Well, Jimmy, I wanted to ask you. So when you first went over to England, you went to Bristol, right?
Yep.
So what was that leap like? And do you think Ali, being a guy where the knock on him, I think the two things that come up for me instantly are his lack of finishing, his clinical ability. He needs to work on that, hone that a little bit in his game. And he's slight. He cuts a slight figure. Maybe the physicality could be something that people say is a little bit of a weakness. Is that going to be a bit of a wake-up call? Is the championship that much more physical than, say, MLS?
Yeah, of course. It is physical. You know, that could come into play, but, you know, it's also their sports science team over there will get him a bit bigger, a bit stronger as well to cope with the demands of the league. But I think the biggest thing is the difference with MLS and the championship. Yeah, the standard of play is completely different. But it's the demands week in and week out. It's the what's at stake. You're having relegation battle right now. So every game means something. And then there's expectations with Norwich where they want to get promoted. So with MLS, okay, yeah, you play to get in the playoffs, but the teams that aren't in the playoffs, there's nothing to play for, is there? Where every single match matters in England. You have to get a result. You have to win because otherwise, if you do get relegated, then that affects everybody within the organization, affects everybody behind the scenes. It's the people that work in the stadium. A lot of jobs get cut and players end up moving on because they can't afford it now. So there's a lot at stake, a lot of pressure in England compared to what there is in Major League Soccer. Every day, you're in the newspapers, it's on TV. They're constantly talking about the team and where they're at. So there's a lot of pressure that comes with playing over in England. than what there is in Major League Soccer. Major League Soccer, you play your game and nobody knows you. You can walk down the streets. Norwich is completely different now. Everybody's going to know who Ali Ahmed is when he's walking through town. So it's a completely different lifestyle altogether.
And it's so much smaller than Vancouver. And I think in MLS, I think in North American sports in general, you know, people are going to ask Ali for his autograph. That'll start like that in Norwich. But if the team's doing shit, they'll be telling him, what are you doing out having dinner? You should be a fucking home. Yeah. I'm paying your wages. There's going to be pressure to that because, like, it's a small town. So when you're going grocery shopping, everybody knows who you are. Ipswich is exactly the same way. And in fact, in hindsight, I would have probably moved to live a half an hour, 45 minutes outside of Ipswich just because of that intense environment that you just can't get away from.
Although he's just eating fried sausage, apparently, so it's not going on too many grocery trips.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Toad in the Hole.
Yeah.
Toad in the Hole is amazing. Oh, I miss Toad in the Hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Tuesday's Cornish pasties instead of Taco Tuesdays.
Yeah.
I was saying before, I was so rudely interrupted by my daughter. So the interview we did with Ali over a year ago now, a really fun interview, actually. He's such a great guy. And he talks about his pathway, right? And how he had told Deitch, Danny Dicchio, that he would sign with TFC. And then that night, his manager at the time said, no, we're not doing that. We're going to Portugal and Spain this summer for trials. So he actually had to email and tell Deitch that he changed his mind and he was crapping himself. And Deitch never responded, so he thinks he pissed him off.
I would also elect to email Deitch and not place a phone call.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But they went to didn't work out for him, and he goes, "Yeah, I failed in Europe back then, you know, and it was a real, you know, learning experience for me, and it really made me consider my future. Turned out for the best in the end, but very candid. And that's what Ali is. So I think he'll be embraced by the fans there. We should repost that interview actually on socials and find the Norwich hashtag and try and get Norwich Nation involved to see that, because you get
it's a great idea. It's like, yeah. It's almost as great an idea as accepting a phone call live on a YouTube
show. You know how
while you're hosting.
My kid should be standing at a bus stop right now, you know, and you get a phone call from your kid. I better get this. Turns out they canceled the buses without telling anyone.
Mm. Did she want your hat?
She would not wear this hat, believe
no.
me. No chance.
I think you didn't get the freezing rain warning this morning that all the buses were canceled? Because I did.
No,
did I did really? Too. Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I try to avoid. I'm so.
What's going on? It's like a few inches of snow. Is that,
no,
it's freezing rain.
It's freezing rain.
But an inch of snow, though, they cancel buses here these days. Never used to be that way. It's pathetic.
No, we'd walk 5 miles to school.
Uphill, both ways.
Uphill.
Uphill.
That's right.
In a blizzard.
I lived in a cardboard box.
You can eat that.
Moving on from Ali, elsewhere, Jacob Schafferberg's is official, gone to LAFC. Talk about minutes, right? Minutes will be the key word, I think, this year for lots of international footballers. Can they get the minutes? Now you go to LAFC, who, you know, they have Boanga and they have Sonny, who both like to play wide, also centrally. Dubs, is Schaff going to have to earn his spots there? Is he going to see his role as similar to Nashville the last year or so, coming off the bench? I like the move. It's exciting for sure. Mm-hmm. But he's not going to walk into that 11, I don't think.
No, he's not. I think it's going to be similar to, as you mentioned, his past year with Nashville, where he wasn't a nailed-on starter. Probably comparable to another Canadian in Mathieu Chouinard, where I think he is there permanently now. He was on loan. And then Mark Dos Santos, as a Canadian, has assumed head coaching job there. So I think that's good. You know, like that he won't be like the caretaker of the Canadians, but I think that will go a long way towards not ensuring minutes, because he's looking out for his job. He's looking out for the welfare of his team and wanting them to be successful. But I think he will have a vested interest in how his Canadians on the roster fare. So I think they're both in a good situation there, as we mentioned earlier, Forrest did, about how important these next few months are before it all kicks off on June 12th for the Canadians, right, at their club setups, like where it's absolutely their bread and butter and they have to perform. So I think a change of scenery will be good for Schaff, because it was a disappointing club year for him, this past one in Nashville. I think you had the two yellow cards with Canada, and I think he was scapegoated, I think, for their performance which was subpar in a Gold Cup. But he certainly was not at his best. So he needs an uptick in performance for Canada, but also with club. And that will vault him, I think, to a spot or a place where he's going to be competing for a starting role. Because he's a very direct player. You know what you're going to get, but he's not been at his best. So hopefully if he can get valuable minutes with LAFC, then that makes Canada better. Because once you have people competing for positions, and certainly those wide areas are hyper competitive for Canada, I think it makes Canada a better team overall.
I just hope he doesn't get shafted.
How long were you sitting on that one?
It's going to be 2 years.
I was waiting for you to finish.
So. Well, he doesn't have a toad in the hole waiting for him. No. If he gets shafted.
But I think it's exciting for him. When you join a new club before the deal is finalized, though, you are obviously you're talking to the manager, right? Finding out what your role is going to be, Jimmy, and where you fit in. I suppose also he's thinking to himself, well, I'm not getting that many minutes at Nashville at the moment either.
Yep.
So maybe there isn't a club where I can just walk into that starting 11. I've got to put the work in here.
Yeah, he's got to put the work in. I mean, at the end of the day, it's down to you as a player to settle in, buy into, you know, the way that they're playing, their philosophy. But, you know, there's going to be expectations from them. They brought him. You're at one of the biggest clubs in Major League Soccer right now. I think if you ask anybody in the league, certain clubs that you'd want to play for, most would say, yeah, I would play for LAFC in a second. So now he's there. He's at one of the top clubs. It's up to him to perform. And obviously, you know, the manager likes the way that he plays. He can see him being an asset for the team. And you just hope that he stays healthy and then he can get on the pitch and perform.
Max Crepeau, it's not official yet, but on his way to Orlando, looks of things. Meanwhile, Sean Johnston leaves TFC. Now, there was that natural connection, Craig. We thought, well, would it make sense for TFC then to approach Max Crepeau? That isn't going to happen by the sounds of things. Does that surprise you? They're very high on Luca Gavron at TFC. And so they should be. Whenever he's played, he's never let that team down. He's a Canadian boy as well. He's not old by any stretch. Do you think this is kind of, I mean, listen, they might well go out today and sign a goalkeeper, but they may have to anyway, for depth purposes. But are you surprised that A, Johnson's left, B, they haven't targeted Max Crepeau?
But I think Johnson was came down to finances, didn't it? Like he was on a quite a packet, I think, at TFC. So they're trying to balance the salary cap with him. And then what does Max Crepeau want? Maybe they did talk to him, and he also didn't fit. And maybe Orlando's willing to spend a little bit more money than you know all these different things. So I think Max has been talking to Orlando for some time. Actually,
When we saw Max at the in Washington D.C. at the FIFA World Cup draw at the Canadian Embassy with Mark Carney, and I'm just dropping names, but he did mention that his family is was in Florida at one point. And I think I think Florida is a place where he's comfortable, because it seems like his family's kind of that's their residence half the time between there and Montreal.
Lots of Quebecers do love Florida.
Yes, they do. They do.
But that's a good insight there, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I asked some questions.
That's inside information.
Yeah. And Max Crepeau, I have to be honest, not as tall as I thought he might be.
But he's not a big guy. Well, he's big, but he's not tall, is he?
No.
Well, there's another Canadian that's made a move, Emil Gazdov. Didn't he go to St. Pauli in the Bundesliga?
He did, yeah.
On loan until the summer, yeah.
Yeah, that's a fantastic move. Wow.
St. Pauli's a really cool club as well. It's like the hipster's paradise out there. That club. It's a great, I think the Blizzard had a great piece on St. Pauli. It must have been, Christ, probably 2 or 3 years ago when they first got back into the Bundesliga. And it's a really, I forget the story and what's behind it, but it's a pretty cool story though. People are the hipsters love that club, and I forget why. I'll have to now reread that. But yeah, great for him. Again, betting on himself, right?
Yeah.
Gavron, by the way, is 25, signed an extension last year with TFC. So I hope they give him a shot. I really do. He's a really good guy as well. We should get him on the show actually at some point. He'd be a good interview. Listen, getting some Canadian blood and TFC is not a bad thing, is it? You know, in important positions, starting positions.
It showed with Vancouver, right, that you had some Canadians playing a real big part. So it could be also not only, hey, my local club team's winning, but people who are representing us on a national stage are also part of that. And it means a great deal. I mean, it meant a great deal for us, even with, with Ali coming on and having the last 2 years, that interview, as you said, Charms, I watched it the other day and I went, oh, this is really good. I know I wasn't on it, but it was really good. That's probably why it was really good.
That was why Asa was on it, actually. Yeah, that's
Asa was.
You weren't on it. Right. So.
That's why Jimmy listened to that podcast, the Norwich one that Asa recommended, because he knew his name was going to be mentioned multiple times. So that's the trick in getting Jimmy to re-listen to Footy Prime podcasts. Like, Jimmy, you can actually hear yourself talk.
Jimmy. You can put it into a transcript, into AI, and then just ask AI to highlight your name every time it's mentioned in the transcript.
Yeah. Is that right? How'd you know that, Charms?
I do it all the time.
You've done it a few times?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Surprisingly, I'm not mentioned very often. I can't imagine why that is. I search.
But have you heard about the environmental impact of using AI? Like how much water it uses?
Oh, you're worse than my kid.
Don't do that. Stop doing that.
I don't know. Why? I don't know. It apparently uses more water than every bottled water in the world. How?
Because it has to be cooled, so it's all supercomputers, and you have to cool. But why wouldn't they just use like sewer water or some kind of like runoff? Like why do they have to use fresh, at the same time. Delicious?
Yeah,
you know,
just urine, cold urine will be doing the same.
Well, you got to let it cool first.
Cold urine. No, urine's people. Always body temperature.
You know, when AI takes over the world, there'll be like millions of humanoids just standing there pissing into buckets as they control us to cool their systems.
Jeez, what a beautiful future.
That's the Matrix, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, actually.
They're all in like, they're sleeping in pea pods.
Pea pods.
Oh, yeah. They took the yellow pill.
I've done some research as to why St. Pauli is the hipster or cult team. It's due to its strong anti-establishment left-wing punk and alternative identity.
Yes.
Attracting fans who value social activism, anti-racism, LGBTQ+ support over just football results, symbolizing the skull and crossbones and located near Hamburg's Reeperbahn red light district.
That is cool.
That is super cool.
I had no idea about St. Pauli. Very cool.
Hey, listen, listeners, viewers, would you like us to do a special on St. Pauli? Let us know. If we get more than 10 people saying yes, we'll find a St. Pauli expert or two. And we'll do a show. I like that. I like
on mushrooms.
On mushrooms. Yes.
And a blowjob at the red light district.
I'm going back to work.
JC's got a job.
We're on the road.
Should do an episode called Toad in a Hole. That's right. It can be a number of things.
an oral history by JC.
Yeah. Get to spot a dick.
Well, I got
it. We should all go. Sharms, bring your hat.
Yeah, they will. Hi, I'm here.
That is a red light district hat.
Definitely. Let's
go to the stadium.
They'll turn the light off when they see him.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Take pity on him.
Charmin, you don't have to turn off that red light.
Thank God.
That was
the police.
Yeah, it was the police.
It's terrible.
Wow.
That's nothing like Sting. But much higher.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that to you.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, moving on. John Herdman has got a job. Good for John Herdman. Off to Indonesia. I don't blame him for getting the hell out of Dodge. Although apparently he tried. He did, I think The Athletic was reporting that he had applied for Jamaica and Honduras.
Oh, stay within CONCACAF?
Yeah, I think getting the Honduras job would have been the ultimate flex and the ultimate in your face. Canada soccer for
a pee bag
me
in
over
face.
And not supporting me. Wouldn't it? That, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, Honduras, one of our arch rivals in CONCACAF, who's just done such terrible things to Canada over the years, have John on the sidelines. That would have been amazing. But he's not going there at the time being. After Indonesia, Craig, a team that obviously has accomplished very little in world football. A lot of comparisons to Canada, I suppose, when he took over not so much the women's program. They'd done a fair amount before him, but certainly the men's program. In the last decade, two decades. So do you think I won't ask you to break down Indonesian soccer unless you know more than I think you do.
Yeah.
Or any of us, but a good move?
Yeah, it's decent defenders. They're pretty good and well-structured.
Good structure.
What was their last result, Sax? I can't remember.
Yeah, they beat Fiji 3-1.
So that's all you can offer.
It's pretty good, actually, more than I knew.
Yeah, I think it's a great experience, no matter what happens and you know how difficult it is in that region for them. I think it's a really good, great personal experience for John.
And getting back in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so many idiots over here want this guy to never work in football again. Like, come on, people, calm the hell down. You know, well, I think he's served his punishment.
He's going to have the fourth largest population on the planet supporting him.
Yeah.
284 million people live in Indonesia.
The fourth largest population in the world.
Yeah.
India,
United States, Indonesia.
284.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Name like it's so wild that it's What's such Brazil? A large population. No,
What's Brazil?
No, no, no. Well, let's find out.
No, don't use AI.
I'm not. The 17th, I promise.
The 17th ranked population.
Brazil's got a big population. Maybe, obviously, not Indonesia. I'm not suggesting that you're lying. It is surprising.
That's
fair. I'm suggesting you're wrong.
No. So India has surpassed China. I'm sorry to throw us off on a tangent, but India, China, great. United States, Indonesia, Pakistan, Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Brazil, good call. Bangladesh, Russia, and Mexico.
Nice.
Wow.
Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, there's a lot of raw talent there to be mined.
He's getting paid well, Sharms. I read 600K. So.
Oh, really? Okay, good.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think it'd be a great lifestyle for him out there, especially on 600K.
Yeah. God.
Beautiful part of the world.
Totally.
Yeah.
Have you been?
Not to Indonesia, but Southeast Asia.
Yeah, same here.
I'm sure it's all the same.
That's great. Oh my God.
What? Beautiful weather.
Beaches. I believe it's a Muslim country.
It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he can't get booze. I don't think John drinks anyway.
No, not much.
Although Malaysia's Muslim, and that was quite easy to get booze in Malaysia.
There's certain pockets.
Always some
right?
guy with a bag full of beer, warm beer, but.
Yep.
Or urine.
Well, some of those Southeast Asian beers taste a lot like urine, actually.
Yeah. You're in luck.
Wow.
Oh, that'd be the best. Craig, I hope that, I don't hope this, but when you were getting pelted with pee bags back in the day in Honduras, I wonder if they're like, you're in luck, wham. And then, I don't know. That's what I would do.
Yeah, that's what they were saying.
Okay, so good for John Herbin. I thank you so much for everyone's in-depth analysis of Indonesian soccer. Well, now we know. But yeah, good for him. It's good to see him back on the sidelines. See John David's missed penalty this weekend for Juventus. I like that he got the ball. We wanted the ball. That's important. But don't you just bury it? Don't you just hit it as hard as possible into a corner?
It's kind of the point.
Yeah. It's too cutesy, right? For a guy that has to score goals.
Not good.
Losing some confidence, eh?
Yeah. And he's. Well,
yes. And it's not been good, right? I think I read it somewhere. Maybe it was in The Athletic describing his arrival in Serie A as a doom loop. Just like one miss after another. I don't know if it's that bad, but like to me, getting handed the ball by your captain is a vote of confidence kind of internally, right? When there was all of that talk, all that gossip about him being kind of isolated and not integrated into the team. So that, I think, speaks volumes. And then also to try a Panenka also speaks to a high level of confidence. But was it the right decision? Probably not. So I think he's going to be okay. I hope he's going to be okay.
I
know.
So do I. And I obviously, I hope so. But I keep saying it on whoever asks me. Yeah, don't worry. It'll work out. Yeah. It's January.
Yeah.
It's time it started working out.
Yeah. And it would have won the game.
Yeah, exactly. It gets Lecce of all teams too.
It's not like they were up by like 3 goals.
Right.
Arrigo Sacchi was on him a little bit as well. The legendary Arrigo Sacchi talking about Spalletti's Juve, and he called David's penalty an incomprehensible shot. I wonder how it is possible for a center forward who has not scored since the opening game of the season to shoot like that with a chip that wasn't even really a chip.
Like a cracker.
A stale cracker.
Is there anything worse when you really like, I'm a chip lover. I adore chips. Like if I have an Achilles heel, it's chips, salty things like that. And if you really want a chip and somebody offers you a cracker, not happy, right?
Who offers you a cracker when you want a chip?
Well, I'm just saying, what if you don't have chips available?
What kind of houses do you go to?
Something salty, right? I don't know. When you guys have cravings, do you go salty or sweet?
Oh, salty.
Pardon?
Stop it.
Craig goes down to the red light district.
Hey, JC.
He needs work.
Imagine seeing you here.
Forrest, you're easy. You're sweet, right?
Well, are you a sweet guy, Craig?
I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Two bowls pineapple. Of Guinness soup.
I appreciate that, Craig.
Oh God!
Derailed already in 2026.
JC's mic looks like Forrest Belen.
I had it specially made.
He wishes. Oh, okay. Do you want to quickly touch on Ruben Amorim and Enzo Maresca being fired, and Liam Rosinier has just signed a 5.5-year deal at Chelsea? Now I know he's part of the whole. Chelsea Blue Group from Strasbourg. But let's start with that. Maresca gone after basically admitting to the, oh yeah, I've been talking to Man City.
Yeah.
Like, it seems that he wanted out for a while. Pulling out with the medical staff who apparently had too much power. I don't know, Dubs. It's when you hear, you read, and again, The Athletic is great for this, had some really great reporting on it. It seemed as if this was just a matter of time. He didn't really want to be there.
Yeah, and it seems like more of the same when you delve into what was going on with Ruben Amorim at Manchester United. It's not exactly the same. You can't compare the two. But two coaches, highly touted coming in, offered up to the fans and to the organization as the solution, right, to get them back on the right track, and then failed experiments again where it didn't look like an experiment. I think Amorim always coming in. I'm sorry, I've shifted now away from Maresca to Amorim, but that's what I was just reading before I came on. It just seemed like it was never going to be the right hire, right? And like the losing to Grimsby. Yeah.
Grimsby.
Jimmy's old cologne. You know, like there were a number of times where you felt like it was the right time to see and to come to the conclusion to sort of face the music and say, this is not the right fit. Let's just cut him loose. We've made an error again. But they were unwilling to admit it. And it took Amorim kind of publicly calling out the organization for that to be the straw that broke the camel's back. And it's almost like, how dare you, you know, and it like touched, it affected their egos. And that was what pushed him out. So I think Maresca is slightly different, but it's like two massive clubs in Chelsea and Manchester United. And I know we're probably going to get to like what we want to see and what we don't want to see in 2026. But I think the Premier League, as much as everybody knows, I'm a Liverpool fan and Liverpool has kind of gone off the rails a little bit here, searching for their identity after they won the Prem last year. But the Premier League is this juggernaut and of this league of immense quality when you have your big guns doing like the big things. And Chelsea flying high and Manchester United flying high make the Premier League infinitely more watchable. And I mean, the fact that you continue to see them struggle as a Liverpool fan, I kind of love it, but I think it's time for them both to turn the corner.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah,
it really seems.
I think with Liam as well, I think it'll be a good hire for him. They've been after him for a while. Strasbourg's is Chelsea's sister club. You know, they've been watching him. They've been talking to him for a long time. They've been actually more or less grooming him. They met him in the summer as well at the World Club Cup, and they just look at him as this next up and coming manager who's this kind of innovator. His style, his philosophy is very modern, and it suits Chelsea, and that's why they've invested so heavily in him and want him there for a long time. In fact, his father used to coach me at Bristol City, Leroy Rossini.
I was going to ask, that is his dad, right? Leroy Rossini. He was around for a long time. Good player.
Long time, yeah. He used to play for West Ham. And,
Yeah. Well, he wasn't there with you, was he, Craig?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Was he at Man City as well? I can't remember.
I think he may have been.
I don't know.
I think Liam was at Stoke for a while.
Fulham.
Anyway, Fulham, yeah?
Yeah, he was at Fulham. He was at Bristol City, Reading.
But isn't this whole thing, Jimmy, I mean, the ego in the professional game, in the coaching ranks, is out of control. How these guys have these incredible jobs, right? Be it Amorim, be it Maresca. Like, they got jobs that 99.99% of managers in the world would just scream out for, but they're never fucking happy. It's never good enough. It's never right. They're always being, you know, I don't know, there's someone behind the scenes, you know, rooting against them. They don't get 100% what they want. Kind of, it's beginning to really piss me off a little bit, to be honest with you. Like, just be happy. Operate in the environment that you said yes to. I'm pretty sure it hasn't changed in the last year or 2 years for Maresca. But he's not happy. He wants something bigger and better.
Maybe it's above the board.
Maybe. The board was there when he was signed, though, right? Don't you? Yeah. They are your bosses, essentially. You may not always like what the board's doing or your boss is doing, but you still have to do a job.
You don't see behind the scenes, do you, until you get the job? And once you get in the weeds, then you start to really see how the club is operating. And I think even at Man United, the manager there was butting heads with Jason Wilcox, the sporting director. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of the times when you go do the interview and you get the job, it's great. And then when you start working, you see how everybody's habits are and what the way that they think is completely different from the way that you think, and you want a player, and then they tell you, no, you can't have that player. But I think there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see, and that's where the frustration comes in.
Do you think in Maresca's
squad too? Young squad of players at Chelsea. He had a pretty good record too. I mean, managers in the Premier League with at least 50 appearances or games, he was like fourth or fifth in win percentage.
Wow.
Club World Cup, conference, championship too. So,
and I think in any job too, managing upwards is always difficult, but it seems like when I read the Athletic article about Amorim, the amount of antagonism, like it seemed like he was set up to, they weren't going to change anything. And if you're there to implement your approach and you just can't, you're going to butt heads. But I mean, everyone's leaving with a shitload of money once again, right? This is what's crazy to me. I mean, we haven't hit on Wilfred Nancy yet, but like there's enough, like all these guys are, yes, 33 days, but I'm leaving with 8 million in my pocket.
Yeah. You got 50 grand a day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Amorim is getting 10 million, him and his staff.
Yeah.
Pounds.
I think they cleared out awfully quick knowing that, I think.
Yeah. No problem.
See you later.
United's an example. But United knew, though, they should have known what they were getting. A guy that's rigid in the way he thinks the game should be played. Mm-hmm. He said it from day one.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that. Now, he went to, I think, a 4-3-2-1, 4-2-3-1 against Wolves, and they won the match. So that's
and went right back to a back three.
Yeah, sorry, against Newcastle, sorry, they won the match. And then back to against Wolves of all teams, back to a 3-4-3 to match up with Wolves. I mean, I just think that some of these guys, these are pretty sweet gigs. Maybe I'm never been that level, obviously. I can't pick and choose where I go.
I don't know if they're sweet gigs. They're difficult. Very, very difficult. Not anybody can do it. It's very, very tough. And again, it's dealing with, you know, the upper brass. A lot of the times, you know, these people are business people. You know, they've made their money outside in their own businesses. And at the end of the day, they're fans, but act like they know how football works. Now, you hire a manager to come in and do the job because he's experienced in that. It's not like the manager goes and sits with them at the board and says, hey, by the way, I think you should run your business like this, and this is how you should be doing things. But because they are on boards or they own clubs, they think they have the right to say, hey, this is how it should be done, and I think you should go get this player, and you should be playing like this. And no, it's let the manager do his job. That's why you hired him. That's a big
problem. How many managers have they had since Alex Ferguson? I mean, it's been a revolving door.
It's six, I think, isn't it?
Can't be the manager's fault every single time.
No, you're right. I think it's six.
Yeah, that'd be about right.
And different management structures, like ownership structures. The Glazers ran everything, and in recent couple of years, it's been Ineos and Sir Jim Ratcliffe, right? Who, even though they don't have the majority stake, they are running the football side of things. Dubs, you mentioned Wilfred Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
8 games he was given.
Yep.
Wow.
Thanks for coming.
This sport can really suck.
Yeah.
You lose the Rangers 3-1. It's one of those games, Rangers Celtic, right, guys, where it's perhaps like River Plate, Boca Juniors. There aren't many like them in the world where that has so much more importance on that match than any other match. So it's all one thing for Wolf and Nancy to be losing 6 of 8 games to start his tenure, but to be smashed by Rangers in the Old Firm Derby was the old straw that broke the camel's back, I suppose.
Yeah, wow. You know, it's a tough one. I feel he's a little bit unlucky coming in that time of the season. Injuries to key players, not the greatest squad. You know, expectations are always high. You know,
Rod Stewart against you.
Rod Stewart's even like happy what about it.
Come on, Rod.
Dubs, you said from day one, Dubs. I remember when you first got hired, you said Wilfred Nancy will do things the way he wants to do things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's rigid in the way his football teams play. And they better be ready for that and give him some time.
Yeah. I think the timing was off from the get-go, right? He needed a preseason, which he wasn't going to get. He needed to get results immediately. And was going to be under pressure. And I think he was criticized. We mentioned a bunch of things, like for his tactics board with the style of play, like square pegs, round holes. But I think a lot of people said that he didn't understand what he was walking into, or at least that was the impression that they got. There was no urgency about him, that he didn't understand the pressure that he was under. And I don't know if I agree with that entirely. Like his public persona, the way that he would kind of present himself at these press conferences. This is a smart guy. Like, I think he went in there eyes wide open. I think he didn't understand, though, the amount of time that he would be given, that it was going to be a really short-lived experiment if he didn't turn things around and get results. I think that part of it, he was maybe not ill-informed, but maybe didn't fully grasp. But I think he understood absolutely what he was walking into. So then now that's Wilfred Nancy and his staff and their families. And this is the other thing that we haven't talked about. Jimmy's like, it's not just, you know, this glorious job and it's all, you know, the glamour and everything and the glitz of it. We know that it's that carousel that people find themselves on and coaches, it's a really tough job. But I think it's everybody that is sort of left in the wake of these decisions, right? Like he has young kids. And like, did they ever come over? Probably not, because he was only there for a month. But I mean, that's Wilfred Nancy and his family and his entire staff uprooted, came over from Columbus. And I think I have seen this, and this is just rumors, this is unconfirmed, but that this was maybe floated to him during the season with Columbus. And he elected, he didn't think it was a good idea, a good decision to leave in the middle of the season of the MLS season with Columbus. So he waited it out and then they weren't getting the results. And then it was tabled again. He decides to go over and it was never going to work because he wanted to change things so drastically and still get results. He needed more time. He absolutely needed a preseason and was not going to get it. So there's a little bit of tragedy, I think, in the way that football operates, right? But I mean, that's what the job is.
I guess that's where you're paid good money, right? But you know, you're just hired to be fired at some point.
Yeah.
Columbus literally hired their new manager last week, I think it was, Henrik Bergström. Wonder if they just held out a little bit longer.
Got him on the cheap.
Yeah. So look who's crawling back with his tail between his legs.
Yeah.
You could walk back into Columbus the way that Martin O'Neill is the caretaker manager for Celtic. Can you see him?
Yep.
Like he walks into that press conference and they're chanting and they're singing and can't believe their luck that they've got Martin O'Neill again.
Well, yeah. I mean, they wanted him to stay originally, I think, didn't they? And he said no.
Well, his interim length was longer than Nancy's full.
Just by a little bit, right?
He goes, come on. If you're Wilfred Nancy, though, you know, you're just sitting there going, I feel so like just on a spite level, I want Celtic to lose every single game going forward.
Yeah.
And have a ridiculously bad season.
I can't help but think of that image of him and Alistair Johnston having a big hug when he first walked through the doors and think, never even got to coach him. That makes me sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For all parties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But look, I mean, for me, with Wilfred, I mean, I don't think he really understood how big Celtic is and what the expectation is. You have to win. And yes, as a manager, and Sharms, you mentioned it, talking about egos with managers, you have to be able to adapt and you have to understand the situation that you're in. You've gone to a club midway through a season, a team that was performing well before he got there under Martin O'Neill. Why change things? Why change things? Ride the season out, continue playing near enough the way that they're playing so that the players don't have to adapt and change so much. Get your results. And then, like Dubs is saying, get yourself to the summer. And then you can slowly start implementing the way that you want to play as a manager. To go in there halfway through a season and say, oh, we're going to start playing like this and we're going to go with this formation. And you end up losing to St. Mirren in the final. You lose to Roma. You lose to Dundee. You lose to Motherwell. Results aren't going your way because you're trying to change too much. Don't change. Don't change what's happening there at the moment. And I think that's where, you know, he's arguing with the press saying, well, this is what we're going to do. It's going to take time. You don't have time in professional football, especially at big clubs. It's about winning and getting results. And unfortunately, his ego got in the way and he didn't get the results. You should have been looking at the big picture. Not trying to change right away and saying, this is who I am and this is how we're going to play. No, fuck, it doesn't work. Show me where it works. It doesn't.
I think it was equal parts ego and the other part naivete, thinking that he could go in there, he'd be granted that time and that the players would be bought in.
Yeah, but that's his fault then. You're not granted that time.
I'm not saying it's not his fault. I'm just saying, like, it's not just ego, right?
Yeah.
He comes from France. He knows football culture, right, as well as anyone. But I think it's a very valid point Jimmy's making there, though, like trying to make wholesale changes mid-season rarely ever works. And this team that demands you win a championship every year, it's one of those very rare leagues in the world and teams in the world where you have to win everything or it's a failure.
Yeah,
you can't finish second. Good season, played well. No, not in Scotland. You better win it. This year, Hearts are 6 points up on Celtic in first place. Can they hang on? Yeah. Ooh. Can they hang on? Man, I hope so. First time since 86, any team outside the Old Firm would win it. Interesting. Okay, listen, we haven't got time to get to our New Year's things you want to see and don't want to see, but that's okay. We have more pods this week, and I'm going to suggest something to you guys off camera. But it's up to you whether you say yes or no. But regardless, next podcast, we'll do that. Okay.
I will not wear a hat like yours.
I might change my hat for that one.
Oh, God.
Even if it records straight after this. Hint, hint. All right. That's Footy Prime. First one of 2026. Lots of news here to catch up on from a Canadian angle. Wongers, I think we definitely do Ali as our YouTube.
Sure.
Championship, and let's find out what Norwich City's hashtag is and all that stuff.
We'll also attach the other interview underneath.
Oh, mm-hmm. Good idea. Ooh, yeah. Creativity. I like that.
I think all it's right, hashtag well, canaries in a coal mine. That's what it is.
Is it really?
No.
That's a police song. Isn't canaries.
That's right.
All right. Yeah, that's pretty bright. We'll speak to you next time. Cheers for listening.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter if we ever make one.
So, do you guys have to get going? Any of you?
I have to get going.
You do? Okay.